you have it.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. And for the subcommittee, Employee Relations, Senator Metzen, will you move the minutes, please?
Yes, I will. So moved.
Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
It's one to nothing.
Yes. One to nothing. There's wonderful treats at the end of the table. I know that's not related to this meeting on our agenda, but they're amazing. So those cookies are very good. I don't know where the milk is. I'm waiting for that. But the fudge is very good. So we're here today to approve some contracts. And Marcy, go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Lilly and members of the subcommittee. My name is Marcy Cordes, and I'm an assistant commissioner and state negotiator with Minnesota Management and Budget. Today, I'll be presenting the last of our 2013-2015 bargaining round for your consideration as a settlement and interest arbitration award, which covers that time period for the Minnesota Law Enforcement Association. Bargaining unit covers approximately 682 law enforcement employees. The majority of those employees are state troopers and BCA agents employed by the Department of Public Safety, and conservation officers that are employed by the DNR. The unit also covers fugitive specialists in the Department of Corrections and fraud specialists in the Department of Commerce. After several months of negotiations, the parties were unable to reach a voluntary settlement, and following a determination of impasse by the Bureau of Mediation Services, one unresolved economic issue, wages, was submitted to arbitration. Mr. Hubinger's memo fully covers the details of the positions submitted to the arbitrator and a summary of the award. Essentially, the state's position was that this unit should be treated the same as the rest of the state's unions that have previously reached voluntary settlements, and the arbitrator agreed. As a result, the changes in the financial terms of these contracts are consistent with other settlements approved by this committee in September 2013 and February and August of this year. And I'll briefly review the highlights of those. Of course, the 3% general increase effective July 1, 2013, and another 3% wage increase effective July 1, 2014. There were previously agreed to provisions, including progression steps in both years of the contract for those employees who are not at the maximum of the range. The same meal reimbursement increase is agreed to with other units. With regard to employee insurance, these settlements include the same CGIP changes that were bargained between the state and the union coalition and finalized at the AFSCME and MAIT bargaining tables. Mr. Hubinger's memo also covers continuing salary differentials for special assignments across the classifications. Those are the key economic changes to the agreement, and I can take any questions that you might have.
Well, good job. Thank you for that. I happen to have an early request for a question. Representative Drazkowski, it was got me in the elevator, so.
So. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, you know, I don't want to lose an opportunity here, Mr. Chair, so thank you. Ms. Cordes, thank you. You know, we've, as you mentioned, we've done several of these, and they all seem to be three and three, and then, you know, they get their steps as well, and on average across state government, it seems to be about half of the people have reached the top of their range and half have not, which means across a biennium that state employees across these different groups are either getting about 7 or 14% increases across the biennium. Now, in this case, the same proposal, as you mentioned, was offered to this group, and then that wasn't enough. What were the arguments that were brought forward to suggest that this group needed to be provided an even richer deal than the rest of the government employees had?
Ms. Cordes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Drazkowski. First, if I can go back to your comment about step movement, the percentage at the top is approximately 30% with this group, although it is typically 50% with most of our other bargaining units. As Mr. Huebinger summarized in his memo regarding the interest arbitration, the position by the union was a delay in the 3% across-the-board increases, an additional 2% that would be implemented at the end of the contract period that would have created a larger tail, so to speak, moving forward. The union, in their presentation to the arbitrator, was focused, I think, primarily on their concerns about their market competitiveness.
Representative Drazkowski, my dad early on kind of told me never to make the police officers or the highway patrol. You spend a lot of time on the highway. You know, you probably don't want to make them mad. I don't know.
thank you, Mr. Chair.
It's mostly a joke, but it's...
Well, Mr. Chair, last I checked, the people were in control, so that's why we're here.
Certainly are, Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess it sounds like, it sounds like they wanted, it wasn't enough is what I gather, as the group looked, or the union looked over their shoulders to, ostensibly to other groups somewhere, to other states or something, I'm not sure. Ms. Cordes, do you know what the average compensation is for the people in this group? Do we know that? Mr. Huebinger, do we know?
Ms. Cordes or Mr. Huebinger?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I don't know if we have the average salary spreadsheet for you here today, but we can certainly get that information.
Mr. Huebinger has some thoughts.
Mr. Chair and Representative Drazkowski, I've got a spreadsheet that MMB has prepared, and Ms. Cordes just didn't bring it with her today. The average salary for an employee covered by the law enforcement unit is $63,392.
That's the average,
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Huebinger, and Ms. Cordes. Mr. Chair, do we know or maybe Mr. Huebinger knows, what is the average tenure, what does the average number of years that $63,392 represents? Do we know, or maybe we don't?
Ms. Cordes?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I'm going to have Carolyn Trevis, who was is assistant state negotiator and was the chief negotiator on the labor agreement, go through some of those additional details.
Go ahead, please.
Mr. Chair and Representative Drazkowski, I'm Carolyn Trevis, assistant state negotiator. This group has very low turnover rates. Have a pretty high tenure. I would say the large majority of the state troopers, conservation officers, and other members of this unit stay with the state from the time of hire to the time of retirement. In part, that's because of the early retirement benefit that's included under the terms of this agreement.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Trevis. I appreciate that. So what it sounds like is if you look at it from a market perspective, it sounds like our people are not going to Wyoming or California or Wisconsin or other places within this bargaining group. They seem to stick around, which, again, makes me wonder about why we were in arbitration to begin with. But I had another question. The item number on page 3 of before we get there, Mr. Chair, if I could, and I have mentioned this in the past. I continue to in these meetings bring up what is the average salary of the group? What is a tenure? Can we have an outline of what their benefits are in terms of value? Is there a way for us, Mr. Chair, in this process as we move forward to automatically incorporate that information in the materials that we get ahead of time so that we have that, so that it's up front? And maybe this is a question for Mr. Huebinger or maybe MMB, but is there a way that we could have not only what the current average salary and tenure and health and pension benefits are for these average individuals within these bargaining units, but also a historical perspective of those same numbers, I think would be helpful and instructive for us, similar to the totals that Mr. Hubinger does so well in putting together in his final spreadsheet on these meeting preparation documents. But I'm hopeful that we could have that, and it would save us some time going forward and actually inform us, I think, better.
Representative Raskowski, I think that's you've been consistent. You have asked that question, and I would hope that we could maybe, you know, definitely include it. It does seems like a fair question, and I don't. Is that doable?
Mr. Chair, members,
Mr. Hubinger.
MMB has been collecting this data for the last couple of biennia in the form that you've been looking for, Representative Draskowski, and we can make it part of the meeting materials in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Hubinger. Another question, Mr. Chair?
Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Korda's number 10 on page 3 of Mr. Hubinger's meeting preparation document. Continue to permit, and I realize this is a continuing provision, but I want to understand what it is and what it means. Continue to permit employees to donate up to 8 hours of vacation time to a bank that can be used by the association representative. So are we somehow contributing employee vacation time to the union? Is that what this is?
Ms. Cortez.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative, I'll have Ms. Travis refer to that.
Ms. Travis?
Mr. Chair and Representative Draskowski, that is like our vacation donation program, which allows, in this case, an MLEA member to donate up to 8 hours of vacation leave to be used by another member for sick leave purposes when they have run out of their own sick leave. So somebody who has a terrible illness, for example, or a family member with a terrible illness, it works the same way as our vacation donation program, which we have with all of our other bargaining units.
Thank you, Ms. Travis. But that sounds nice.
So thank you, Mr. Chair.
And it's a nice program.
And Ms. Travis, so what that means, association representative kind of threw me for a loop there, and I appreciate your help there. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll allow anybody else to ask questions, and then I would have just one final comment before we vote in.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, if I'm reading this correctly, we have almost 70% of the people who are on the top of the pay scale. So is there an issue with recruitment? Or I'm assuming this is the same issue as all the baby boomers coming up to retirement, and this field is... And others, I'm wondering if we're reaching a crisis here.
Ms. Cortez.
Mr. Chair, Senator, as Ms. Travis mentioned, and it was certainly part of the presentation at the arbitration award, the turnover for this particular bargaining unit is quite low.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm guessing, though, it was 70% of them at the top of the scale, that there's a number of them ready to retire.
Ms. Cortez.
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, and that would be the case, I think, across the state. In many of our job classifications, there are concerns about succession and retirements, given the demographics of the units.
And if you may, I can add to that.
Ms. Travis.
Senator Eaton, at the arbitration, we did present testimony of all of the agencies regarding recruitment for our state patrol, our conservation officers, and our other members covered by this contract and special agents. And the testimony was that we get hundreds of applicants for one or two vacancies that we fill. And so right now, the recruitment is not an issue for any of this bargaining unit.
Thank you.
Senator Metzen?
Mr. Chairman just mentioned that the new hires will be obviously at a lesser amount of money. So if there's any good news, it's might be that. It creates some new jobs for other people, and but they start obviously not at 65 or 75. They start at something less. So.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The questions prompt a question that I hadn't pondered, but Ms. Trevis or Ms. Cordes, we passed a bill into law last biennium that makes it easier for military veterans with military police experience to qualify for the reciprocity. Hopefully we'll be helping kind of that situation we're talking about a lot of law enforcement people reaching and moving into retirement. Have you noticed any trends? Has that been helpful? Have we seen more veterans applying in the process?
Ms. Cortez.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I don't think that we have that information for you this morning. We can certainly discuss that with the departments and find out if they have any data that they've collected regarding the impact of that legislation.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Anybody willing to move the contracts?
I would.
Senator Eaton moves SER 1. Any questions in regards to that? Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment before we go forward, but also would like to call a question or ask for a roll call, if I could, on this. Mr. Chair, we've got a contract that's very, I think, consistent with the others that have come before us, in that these are very handsome benefits increases for public employees. As I mentioned, on average, and I was we had the discussion about 31% of this particular group reaching the threshold of the top of their scale. And on average, it's about half throughout the system, which suggests that somewhere that about half of the employees are receiving about 7% increase across the biennium, and the other half receiving about 14% across the biennium. That's 7% per year increase, Mr. Chair. Huge increases when and I've seen these numbers: $1,500 per family per year, $2,800 per family per year in less net income per family that we're seeing in Minnesota and in the United States. And here is an article from the Center for American Progress, hardly a conservative organization, that suggests that since 2007, the average family has seen $4,500 decrease in what they earn today compared to 2007. These are the realities of what we're seeing among the people paying taxes throughout the state of Minnesota. We are seeing really a shrinking middle class throughout our state and country, as they seem to be getting poorer. At the same time, we seem to be creating an upper-class government. I find that troubling that we're seeing two different treatments in the way that the people are being treated here, and we're giving these very much platinum increases in benefits to state employees, while the rest of Minnesota, who are paying the taxes, continue to struggle. And so I find that troubling. I'll be voting no on the motion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Unless I read it incorrectly, it's only 31% that are that qualify for the step raises. It's almost 70% who've already reached the top. So this should actually be fewer people and a less expensive contract. These people work hard. They're in dangerous jobs, and they earn their money.
Well, thank you, everyone. I imagine we'll hear a little bit more of this as this goes forward. Mr. Hubinger, we'll call the roll.
Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
Aye.
Representative Winkler?
Aye.
Senator Eaton?
Aye.
Senator Metzen?
Aye.
Senator Saxhawk?
Yes.
Okay, 6? Sorry. It passes 6-1. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming. And, again, thank you. This will be my last meeting as chair. But thank you to all our public workers. And hope everybody has a safe holiday. With that, we're adjourned.